Hello, good people. As you can hear from this bit, I'm actually outside, which is a complete change for me. I mean, I'm sitting here right now recording this brief message, just watching the world and lots of people go by. In fact, since the last podcast, you could argue that's what I've been doing. I mean, I've been on training for my job elsewhere in the country, I've watched a funny fight at a train station, I've been to Walton Towers, and I've seen a few of my good friends. Oh, yes. Which is why I wanted to record the podcast outside to reflect this, because I've been out and about, and, well, it seemed the right thing to do at the time. Now, this is not easy, because the laptop has a limited amount of battery life, it's huge to carry around, and, well, with the condenser microphone, for some reason I look stranger than an elephant farting the tune to the X-Files. So before I get mugged and end up on Crime Watch doing a strange reenactment of what happened, let's carry on with the podcast.
Welcome to the Ooh Sometimes Podcast. And now, the man that, well, you know, I've said it many times, and I'm not sure if you've all been waiting for him. You guys must want to hear more of me. If so, let me know, all right? Oh yeah, I'm still meant to introduce the guy. Here's Paul, anyway.
So then, campers, I must start by saying it is I, Paul Hughes, the newly crowned Lord of Leisure. That's right, I'm now a lord. You see, the Lord of the Underworld title was already taken by Hades, that's Greek there, Osiris, the Egyptian one, for all those who are paying attention, and a guy off MySpace from California who is 26, and whose goal is to ethnically cleanse all the communist Nazis. Charming. But no one had taken Lord of Leisure as a title. Now, I did a bit more research on that as well. They have a picture gallery in America called Lord of Leisure, and there is a film on YouTube with Lord of Leisure in the title. But as it stood, at the time of me checking, there was no one who called themselves the Lord of Leisure. So that meant I didn't have to pay the Labour Party for the peerage, and some of the benefits include sitting down for long periods, I have a gym membership but not being actually obliged to use it, and I am given the keys to my car. Granted, I had them before, but now it's the Noble Ford, as opposed to what I was calling it before. I wanted to get that out of the way. You see, the whole space adventurer thing was funny, well, to an extent. It was down to two things, basically. Now, this was a joke. One, I was the only one who called myself the space adventurer, and two, I never went into space, except for MySpace, and I think that'd be called a cheat. Does that mean I would have been better off being called the MySpace adventurer, because that would have been as good as it got? I can't really have my job title after my name, because I have no bloody idea what the hell it is. Seriously, after a year, I still don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's probably going to have the word senior in it because of the promotion. The thing is, I don't want the word senior in it because I'm 25 and I'm not senior. I have been told, however, that the age of 25 is when it all goes wrong and the only thing you have to look forward to is death. So in the meantime, I am to get married, have kids and get tied down, never being able to do anything in the world ever. What is the matter with these people? What changes from one day to the next? 24 to 25 has meant nothing. Now granted, if it were to go from, say, 24 to 60 in a day, then yes, I would be slightly more concerned. Though the possibility of getting married after turning 60 from 24, well, the odds would, let's face it, they would be against me. So after the entire month of September passing us all by, I'd be here returning to the MP3 air type thing. I can't really say airwaves. MP3s don't really have airwaves, they have wibbly bits. Okay, so here I am, returning to the MP3 wibbly bits, telling you all about whatever the hell I want. That's right, I have lost the will to care about what goes into the podcast, and will fill up the half hour with complete and utter hang about, that's what happens every podcast. Okay, how about this for a premise? This podcast will go into the production of the new movie, Really Big Disaster, where Tom Cruise and Will Smith save the world after a disaster happens using only their elbows and some jelly. This podcast deals with the problems of talking to people on the phone to get them to set, and how much was spent on taxis during the shoot. Okay, granted that sounds crap, but then again it's about as good as most films get these days. Though must admit, I have now seen that film Run, Fat Boy, Run, and that is good, with the simple trying to win back ex-woman whatever by doing something silly, done differently, I suppose. And it has Simon Pegg and Dylan Moran in it. What more do you need? Two fine comedy people and, the woman in it is quite fit too, so that will do me as well. But must admit, Hot Fuzz, for me, is a far better piece of work. Oh, Okay, on this Insert Random Timeline's 10th official podcast, yes, we're into double figures. I can't believe it myself. I thought there would be cake or something, but never mind. I actually get around to talking about the V Festival, things that have happened since then in the real world, and more music to go, ah, bye. Yes, you heard me. I said, ah. You know, if you go, ah, to anyone after saying something, it automatically makes it true. Give it a go and see what happens.
The Ooh Sometimes Podcast. It has a large carbon footprint, and you know what they say about big feet. You got it.
Ah, yes, now. In August, the 17th to the 20th to be exact, my schedule was taken up with a little music festival which happens in Weston Park in Staffordshire every year. It was V. I went to V last year with Steve, Christy, Matt, John, Gareth, and all sorts of other people. This year, it was ever so slightly different, actually. A year had passed since last year, for instance. Stuff happened since then. We've all been places and done things. And people. I replaced the light switch in the bathroom. I mowed the lawn and sat down. I sat down some more while breathing. I like doing that. So when V came around, it was a rather leisurely affair. Like driving in the country. We stopped at a pub on the way, enjoying some fine wine, remarking on the wonderful world that we live in, and how the Petersons were holding a dinner party next Julemba. All right, I'll stop. You know, I should say this has been one of the hardest of all hard things to do. Like trying to understand why women behave the way they do, or trying to work out why life seems to be so much better after drinking tea. You see, the level of hardestness I face. Ever since V2007 happened in August, believe me, I've been trying to think of ways to describe it. Glastonbury, of course, that went on for no less than two podcasts. The first time I've ever done a two-parter. Granted, the twist in the plot halfway through where that mild-mannered gardener turned out to be Frank's father. What a mind-blowing experience, eh? Download the other podcasts if you wanted to find out if they are reunited after the life-changing adventure they go through to find the mysterious City of Gold videotapes and try and get them put onto DVD. And then it came to V. And afterwards, on the Monday, I was stunned. Words fail me, and everyone knows how hard that is. The thing is, I can't remember an awful lot about it. It seems like my mind is trying to erase it like nobody's business. I seem to remember some filming with the camera, taking some photos, all of which were in rubbish. Gotta get me a better camera. I've been having a look at one of those Panasonic cameras, the one with the uber 10x zoom, which can photograph two ants having sex from 3 miles away or something stupid like that. Anyway, they're jolly expensive though. So campers, if you want decent pics, by all means, please send me some money. At V, there were people I knew from places. Some walking, some not. Some people banged things and strummed things, and it was called music. Alright, it sounds awful so far. I just don't know where you can start with it. So while I think about how to start the setting at V, here's a nice song by a guy who seems to have got a song about my mood quite right, I think. William Brooke, it's the song Beggar. And no, it's not a swearing type thing.
I will not stand like a beggar at your door. No, and you won't let me in. I will not stand like a beggar at your door. I will not do it anymore. I will not do it anymore. I wasn't looking. See, I held no plans in front of me. You were more than I could ever hope to find. Perfect beauty with a silly soul, one deep dark mind. But a heart too dimly on every word you say. Caught every crumb through my never suited me very well. Is it too late to save myself? I just can't tell.
Somehow this song just suits me down to the ground. It's a nice tune, and for more nice tunes, I should say you should head on to magnatune.com. I say that again, magnatune.com. If you can never spell that, because admittedly my spelling of it is atrocious at the best of times, the blog has links for it all over the place, so drop them a line, see what you like, job's a good one. Later on we've got another tune from somewhere else on the internet, but before we have that tune, now in classic previously on 24 style, I was trying to in vain skirt around the issue of what went on at V. Some people would say it's my gift of talking complete rubbish for ages which has stalled it for this long. What the hell, you may as well hear about it. Friday 17th of August, as it goes, wasn't hugely bad. In fact, it was kind of starting out like sort of Enid Blyton's famous five-style whizziness. Oh George, let's go on a whizzo adventure! And that's what it felt like as I picked up Natalie. Oh yes, that was the second thing which was different compared to last year. I had a lady friend to bring along this time, and in a way, it kind of changed it all. Even now, I'm still not sure whether or not it was good or bad. And as weird as it sounds, I can't think of a better way of putting it. You get used to doing things like that all on your own, or in a group of your friends, and not with the one you tend to do naughty with. And well, it's a clear sign of things were going a wee bit further. And of course, since then, there have been many colourful ups and downs. I'm not going into that. Because if you think you're getting a soap opera here, you can think again. Remember who you're dealing with here. I'm the kind of guy to sit outside on a bench where I live. Also, there are lots of people looking and staring. Hello. Hello. Oh, you're going past. Wondering why I'm talking into a microphone. My world has rubber walls and wear giant ants wear pink slippers singing Copacabana. So you know you're dealing with that kind of character, so you aren't getting a soap opera. We got to Telford in short order, picked up a fair amount of food and drink for the weekend to save a bit of cash, and Natalie even got a nice new white coat. Remember, we're going to a field full of mud. But hey, I'm just mentioning this for a cheap laugh, and well, it worked at the time. I wrote it down, it sounded good, but it probably hasn't now. Now, from here on in, as I do start moaning a fair bit, I thought it'd be only fair to warn you, as you may just want to skip over to the next song, which is a corker, by the way. Or maybe I should just say, listener discretion is advised. You know, like the beginning of some shows where they say, viewer discretion is advised before they have something doing naughty, blowing things up, and everyone speaking in a really gruff voice. I never got that. You're only hard if you sound like your throat's been given the last rites. Okay, well, I'm going to start it now. Listener discretion is advised. Now, if only I had a catchy opener, but never mind. We'll carry on regardless. We got there to the festival again in short order. You see, most people take the motorway onto the Bee Festival, but if you take the back way from Telford, you get there in about 50 minutes, as opposed to the hours spent on the motorway by everyone else. You see, it doesn't sound so bad so far, does it? But we are parked in the most faraway car park from where we needed to go, and well, put it this way, we need to buy a wheelbarrow for next time. If you carry a load of gear, a bit of a journey can take forever! Seriously, to cross from one side of the place, you know, all the festival arena bits and bobs, to the other, took over an hour, and it seemed to be a far lot longer. But the longer it took, the funnier it became. It really did. It was like a sitcom for crying out loud. Cue Ken laughter and a wee wow wee woo wow woo. I think that's what happens on American sitcoms these days. If it doesn't, then by all means, please let me know. Andy Fahey from work met up with us and helped us, which was an amazing thing, by the way. Thank you very much again, Andy. And we camped out in the grey area, which was nearer the arena than we thought, but it was all the way around the other side from the car, which is not nice. And they also put up 3 tents in record time. It was returning the favour Matt did for us last year by putting my tent up because I got there late. Now he, his brother and Gareth will be getting there late this year. You see, it sounds rather fair, doesn't it? And I tell you what, when everyone met up, it was very welcome, but honestly, by the time everyone got there, I was knackered. And strangely, everyone else was too. I mean, last year we all wandered down to the arena to watch things and stayed around laughing, doing whatever, and it was most definitely different this year. Hell, we did wander around again, but at around 11, I was done. I was even starting to fall asleep during Hot Fuzz, that was being shown in the JJB tent, and that's one of my favourite films at the moment. So if I fall asleep to that, you know it's time to call it a day. Saturday was a little different too. It was raining all the time while there, but that didn't stop me from wearing my dressing gown and getting my electric toothbrush out again. Oh yes, I know all about roughing it, don't I? And I was being healthy, thanks to Natalie's massive amount of fruit and whatever bought. It was the wrong place to be such a thing. Healthy? Festival? Not happening. Well, actually, that comes into play later. For now, we're sticking to Saturday. I decided to wear the dressing gown the whole day. Don't worry, I was wearing shorts, you know, there's no naughtiness. And while wandering around the entire day in that, it proved to be a very bad decision. Not for the weather, but for the comments it got. And I know, wearing a dressing gown all day was bound to get noticed. I know that, I'm not that silly. And well, I thought I'd be fitting in because I've seen lots of people wearing all sorts of things at festivals. I mean, at Glastonbury, for instance, there were people dressed as Mario and Luigi, and more. At V, I was just ridiculed, and for some inane reason, the size of my genitals was questioned on more than one occasion. Which leads me to wonder, why were all the men there wondering how big my penis was? Were my legs truly that alluring? So for a lot of the day, I was covered by a poncho. It was more to save whatever shame I had left. The rain didn't let up, but the music was very good. Corin Bailey Rae was brilliant live, and she can really sing really soulful music. She's producing another album, apparently, so wait for that one, campers. There you go, it'll probably be next year, that one. One of the videos that have been showcased on the blog recently shows Katie Tunstall, another great artist whose second big album, Drastic Fantastic, is in the shops now. And remember, all that time ago, when I saw her in Wolverhampton, I said that there was going to be one song called Hollywood Hills, that was to be on the next album. Well, that turned out to be rather wrong now, didn't it? She seemingly dropped that one for other fantastically sounding songs, it has to be said. And it was grand. I was happy. And actually, around Katie Tunstall, I saw Andy again for the only other time for the whole weekend. Couldn't actually arrange to meet up or anything later because his phone was dead. Oh. He wandered off with his friends from Coventry, and I was alone once again with Nat, which actually formed the majority of Saturday. Saw a couple more acts, like the Manic Street Preachers, who were just as good as they were at Glastonbury, has to be said. Except this time there was no duet for Your Love Alone Is Not Enough, Not Enough, Not Enough. You know that song. It was just James, the lead singer, all by himself, and it didn't matter, he actually carried it very well. Fair play to you, sir. And finally, the Killers completed the set for Saturday. For the Killers, we were somewhat near the back, but still quite close to some speakers, and once again, it seemed the set from the Killers was quiet. I mean, even the boom boom from the Bacardi tent was overpowering them. But what the hey, maybe it's just a thing you have to be really early, get the good spot, and then you get them in all their curvaceous glory. Arguably, they were better than they were at Glastonbury. That's kind of weird in some respects, because I figured Glastonbury, bigger occasion, what have you, and yet at V, I think it was a fantastic set. Mind you, I like the Killers anyway, no matter what they do.
You're all lovely, I like you all, but not in a strange way.
Sunday came about, and the longest time took getting everything down, all the tents and what have you, and packed, taking them all back to the car. I just didn't want to, and it showed. Everyone else did the same, because, as it goes, I got back so early from Glastonbury, it seemed to be the right thing to do, you know what I'm saying? And the rain was still not letting up at this time. So basically, packing everything up in the pouring rain is an absolute joy to behold. I tell you what, campers, if you ever get the chance to do it, or you'll feel so much better that you have a genuine roof over your head. But anyway, Sunday, I dressed in civilian garb, so don't worry, I learnt my lesson from the day before, and it took forever to get back to the car. You see, on Friday, was walking 500 miles, and now we had to walk 500 more. It was knackering all the same. Wheelbarrow, gotta love him. After a wee bit of a rest, we got back an hour or so later, fully soaked through, and I felt at this point I had enough. I just wanted to go there and then. It was the little things during Saturday and, well, the walk with all the equipment, the fact that we couldn't take seats in with us purchased there at the festival because the steward said so. they were worried about them being used to hit people. The thing is, and this is what really ground my gears, in the arena you see lots of people with little chairs. So what's the point of all that security malarkey? And besides, aren't we all adults? Well, actually there at V, no. And the one thing that did change it around was chicken tikka masala. I know what you're thinking, that sounds absolutely bizarre, and where the hell did that come in? But let me explain. A really warm Indian dish with naan bread actually did the trick in changing my mood. It made it all seem a lot better. Which gets back to the point I made earlier. Healthy food and whatever, you know, fruit, veg, blah blah, is not good at a festival. You want hot food, no matter what it is. Which is another thing. The food at V was actually very good, and more reasonably priced, I must say, than Glastonbury. Which was shocking, considering what it was like last year. Bravo the organisers, I should say. I applaud you, as does the old man who just looked at me in an odd way as he walked past. Okay, hello. But for crying out loud, do something with the car parks. Make it so that the campsite's actually next to the damn things.
But enough of a rant. We need to press on. Amy Winehouse, of course, was not there due to her problems, so Natalie was disappointed. As was I. She was actually quite good at Glastonbury. After the fray had finished on the Channel 4 stage, the Frills were on before, and they did that one song of theirs, I know. It's called Big Sur. I'm not doing a reenactment of it, so... We met up with everyone else at long last and spent some time in the Virgin stage tent, where the small bands play, and that's where we were introduced to Mumra. Yes, they are a band named after the evil guy from Thundercats. Matt wanted to see them at Glastonbury, but couldn't. So we got to see them at V instead, and I tell you what, they're good. They have spunk. And that's good spunk, and not the spunk that would make God cry. Mumra, listen to their stuff online and see what you think. We also saw a bit of Pink, and that was a bit too much. So we went back and watched another act of the Union tent. John had enough at this point and went home. We said farewell, and we also got separated from Matt and Gareth at this point. Actually, I haven't mentioned the other people in our group for quite some time in the podcast. And truth be told, I'm missing huge amounts of detail from V out, because I need to press on. Matt and I stayed around the main stage with Snow Patrol, and frankly, it was worth it. I remember it quite clearly. Although mainly it was because in the crowd, it was like Omaha Beach. Bodies were flying everywhere we looked. Well, mainly due to alcohol poisoning, and one guy was using me as a prop. Aw, bless. Nevertheless, the band were fantastic. They really do sound like they do off their albums, and they engaged the crowd too. It's one of those things that made up such a terrific act. It was a great sing-along as well to that song Chasing Cars. I loved that sort of thing. But after Snow Patrol, we called it a day ourselves and went home. We missed the Foo Fighters, but frankly, I didn't care. We needed to rest in a proper bed, under a proper roof, and recover the next day. And that's what we did.
The Ooh Sometimes Podcast, home of the evil undead and the circle of darkness. Well, not really, but would it be cool if it was?
And there we are. That's the bulk of what happened. You see why it took so long to actually try and put this all together? This has been the toughest thing to talk about because the overall experience of V paled in comparison to Glastonbury. You think of Glastonbury as the Premier League of the festivals, and V 2007 turned out to be Division 2. Don't get me wrong, the acts who were performing there were top notch and I really enjoyed them. It was just other things that dragged it down. There were far more numpties than Glastonbury, and well, in fairness, I asked for it by wearing the dressing gown out and about. The weather never let up, it was just constant rain, and the fact is, I never got away from... it wasn't Glastonbury. Perhaps you get spoiled by one festival, you judge all the rest of them in the same way. And V was far more tiring. I was so tired of V. Glastonbury was a different story. Perhaps another sign of not enjoying it. And perhaps the fact that I've seen so many naked men standing on people's shoulders in the crowds, it kinda gets a bit much. It's not my cup of tea, I'm afraid, and I know that does disappoint a few of you out there in internet land. So now you see, how could I do two podcasts about Glastonbury and, well, fall down flat when discussing V? I couldn't even bring myself to write about it on the blog, just some videos here and there and a picture. I guess my heart just wasn't in it. And I wasn't aroused. I think a lot better when I'm aroused. Guess that's why the blood always seems to be flowing when I'm at my best.
Not the best of pictures painted there, and certainly not the most descriptive. Sorry, campers, it happens. Well, by the looks of things, my battery is running low on the laptop, so while I wrap things up here and return home, here's Artificial and the West Exit. A nice, easygoing, dancey thing. See, I'm exiting now to go back home, and this song is the West Exit, see? Wow, I can do crap radio links just like the best of them! Woo! Nice tune there, and it's another fantastic tune from Magnatune as well. It was Artificial and the West Exit. Look, just go over the website, listen to their tunes, you'll find something nice. And I have to say here as well, if you want to be featured on the podcast with your music as the next big thing since the electric cucumber was invented, then email me on the usual address, paul@oosometimes.com. Tell me who you are and what you do, and we'll see.
The Ooh Sometimes Podcast, now a global entity in its own right. If someone from North Korea is snooping around, you know it's getting noticed.
Now, normally the podcast would have finished way by now, but because it's podcast 10, you know, 10th one, woo, and also the fact that I went on about V actually longer than I thought I did while sitting outside, I'm going to carry on with a few last bits and bobs before rounding things off quite nicely. Think of it as the and finally part of the podcast. Now, hopefully a lot of you will have been reading the blog, and hello, by the way, to the people off the Facebook thingy who had definitely been reading from the blog posts. You know you have, simply because the website thingy tracker, what's it, that's been saying who's been coming from what other side, said so. See, I know you're coming from there. And at last, Facebook does now have a use. Woohoo! And I want to remark on one thing from Facebook now, in audio form, not just writing about it. Now, say you went to school with someone who didn't talk to you and basically didn't even communicate on a basic level with you. Why the would you insist on adding them as a friend? Is it simply because you recognize their face and think, ah, another friend to pretend I have? Look, unless you are a very, very nice woman, and you're very sexy to me now, you have no chance of me saying you are a friend. If that is shallow, I really don't care. The beautiful thing is, I have the choice of whether or not you are added. So if you're thinking about trying it, please think of whether or not it is bothering with the two mouse clicks required. So if you have been reading the blog, you'll have seen an awful lot of posts wondering about the state of a few things and seen a few happenings. I mean, I've been in Birmingham on training. I laughed at a fight that happened in New Street Station, and I've remarked on the fact that people run around everywhere. I've even tried to expand my writing skills, you see, and well, I figure that the blog is the best way to do that. I'll be still posting complete and utter, but hopefully there will be an actual point to it. And recently, I've been struggling for creative juicy stuff, because everyone comes up with a mental block at some point. It's true, the effort taken to come up with new material is always hard work. And well, what the trick is I've found to take the old stuff I've written and then rehash it in a different way that it looks brand new, and the public love it. So at the moment, I'm currently waiting the delivery of just one book now, the new Jeremy Clarkson book. The new second book from Chris Moyles has arrived in the post, and I have yet to start reading it, so I'm not going to be spoiled by that by anyone. And hopefully those books will give me ideas. After all, the best authors steal from everyone and everything else. Besides, what hasn't been done now? There aren't that many original thoughts left in the world now, and I know you could start stringing random things together to create something that no one will have done, but that's just because it's effing stupid. Okay, here's an example. Mr. Potato Head throwing on a plate of beans using a giraffe while dancing on a unicycle. There you go, there's something you wouldn't have thought of, but that's because it's crap. Come on, good people, there are things we haven't heard about yet. Let's hear it. I am more than happy to rip off your creative thinking. It's also been a sad time for a friend, going through a rough time, and I never wrote about that. That sort of thing deserves privacy and respect, and should not be in the public domain unless they want it. Remember, I do have limits to what I will put out there. I have learned from previous experience, shall we say, what you can and cannot say. Freedom of speech doesn't even come into it, despite the fact that sometimes it's called for, sometimes just grinning and being quiet is the better part of valor. It's one of the things you learn with age, I guess. You know when to say something and when not to say something. Recently, I learned how saying things can make things worse, and turning into a soap opera with two people wanting to kill each other, neither of which is liked by most, but then you still have to end up playing nice in order to get by. So I resign myself to the fact that the better part of valor is just being quiet. And for a loud mouth like me, that's bloody hard. Okay. Now, after that after-school special moment, like what the old cartoons from the 80s tried to do at the end of their shows, you know, they've blown everything up, killed lots of people, and you still can't cross the road without a stranger, or don't look without leaping, or something idiotic like that, it's time to end the podcast. And it was filmed before a live audience of random strangers walking past and using very little gumption. Go for the gumption!
Just one final thing before I start saying all the goodbye stuff. Fangler from World of Warcraft, who I've played with on the game for quite some time now. You're an absolute diamond, mate. See, I told you I'd mention it on here. Just don't get big-headed now. Otherwise, you know, you'll end up doing naughty, and what will your mother say? I am now off to ponder how people are able to make crystal meth using Lemsip. And in the meantime, by all means, keep reading, keep writing to me, keep talking, keep walking, keep... just keep. The blog's at oosometimes.com, my email address is paul@oosometimes.com, some music from the podcast has been from Magnatune, Mr. Voiceover Man, although he's been absent for a lot of the show, he's still around, it's Mr. SL Slaughter, he's still milling around under the rim, telling us good people what bad things are happening over in the US, and the many projects he has on the go. His podcasts can be found at www.blowgun.com, so please check it out. The podcast title music was by Seismic Anomaly. It was a good piece, I thought, and I thought it would suit this podcast more than the normal stuff. Other music came from Kevin MacLeod, as always. The music he does is always top-notch. The link for his music is on the blog website, too. And as for me, I am Paul Hughes, the newly crowned Lord of Leisure for the UK, except Ireland, because even my leisureliness cannot compare to the laid-back Irish. Fair play to them. I salute your valiant struggle against doing nothing. One day I hope to achieve this level of leisure. My chi will be in sync, and yay, it will be good. The most complicated things in my life will be when's feeding time and when do I go for a walk. Kind of like what dogs enjoy now. Keep reading, keep writing, blah blah blah, what I said earlier, and I will be back soon again verbally, if not in a written way. Bye bye!